Thank you for listening to this audio message from Christ Fellowship Leesville. We exist to make disciples for the glory of Jesus. We pray God uses this message to help you grow in your walk with Christ. To learn more about Christ Fellowship, please visit us online at christfellowshipnc.org.
Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put aside something and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter, so that you may help me on my journey, wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. When Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord, as I am. So let no one despise him. Help him on his way in peace, that he may return to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers.
Let's go to the Lord now in a word of prayer as we seek his help in understanding his word this morning. O good, gracious, generous Father, we have already experienced your generosity this morning in the gathering of your saints together, to fellowship together, to lift up our voices in praise to you while also building one another up as we hear biblical truth being sung. And now we get to experience the generosity of your word being proclaimed. And all of it is pointing us to your generosity shown to us in the Lord Jesus Christ and his life, his death, his resurrection, his promise of new heavens and new earth when he comes again. So we pray, Father, for your help. Please help us this morning to rightly understand your word. Help me as I proclaim it, that you would guard me from error, that you would protect your dear sons and daughters here from hearing anything other than what is true of you, what is true of your son. And may we, as we respond to God's word this morning, may we respond in such a way that we look more like the Lord Jesus Christ as a result. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. We love you. Amen. Well, hopefully, as the video you just watched showed us, we can all see that one of the big themes that runs throughout the course of the scriptures is generosity. And it all starts in Genesis 1 and 2 with a story of creation. There's many things you can see in that story, but one of the things you can't walk away from Genesis 1 and 2 thinking is God is a stingy God. No, he is abundant. He abounds in generosity. And his character in one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament, in Exodus 34, 6, shows us he's also generous. Yahweh, Yahweh. A God compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, overflowing with loyal love and faithfulness. Didn't we sing about that this morning? You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. God is generous. It's we as sinful humans who have looked at God's abundant generosity and have determined that he's not generous, that he can't be trusted. And not surprisingly, we are people who can be selfish and greedy or anxious and worrying whether there really is enough for us. And the answer to our sins and our doubts about him is found in God's generosity displayed through Jesus in the very familiar verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus is the ultimate expression of God's generous love to us. He died for us on the cross for our sin in our place, and he rose again from the dead so that he could give us rich, abundant, eternal life. That's the gospel, brothers and sisters. And it's that gospel that Paul preached to the Corinthians. That's the gospel we've been studying. But turn your attention to the screen again. See the subtitle for our series? It's not just believe in the gospel, it's transformed by the gospel. The gospel that Paul preached would transform the Corinthians and us from selfish sinners who doubt God's generosity into purified saints who live to be generous as Jesus himself is generous. And that is what Paul is giving instruction in, and ultimately what he will demonstrate to the church in this passage. So here's the main idea for us this morning in this passage. Because we have been transformed by the generous grace of Jesus Christ, we must also live generously toward others, particularly the saints in need. I'll read that one more time. Because we have been transformed by the generous grace of Jesus Christ, we must also live generously toward others, particularly the saints in need. And here's how we'll see this idea fleshed out in Paul's instructions. We'll see it in 3 points. First, we should be generous with our finances. Secondly, we should be generous with our presence. And third, we should be generous with our humility. So let's look at that first point together. We should be generous with our finances. Look again at verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. Now, as we have worked our way through this letter to the Corinthians, we see that Paul begins a new section every time he uses the phrase, now concerning. This is indicating a response, as we've talked about before. This is indicating a response to the letter the Corinthians had sent to him with questions. And we've explored that in the areas of sexual relations, those betrothed, food offered to idols, spiritual gifts, and now here, the collection for the saints. So what is this collection? And who are these saints? Well, based on what we see in verses 1 and 3, it's a collection Paul is taking up for the church in Jerusalem from the many churches that he has started on his missionary journeys, including Corinth and the churches in the region of Galatia. So why was Paul instructing the churches and taking up this collection? Well, you have to turn and look at other passages in Scripture to see that, but we find that the church in Jerusalem had needs. So in Galatians 2:10, when Paul was visiting in Jerusalem, the apostles gave him instructions, remember the poor. And they may have been speaking generally about the poor as in everywhere, or they may have been speaking specifically about the poor in the Jerusalem church. Either way, Paul said he was eager to follow that instruction. In Acts 11, we read that there was a severe famine in Jerusalem. In 1 Thessalonians 2:14, the church in Jerusalem was facing persecution similar to the Thessalonians. And ultimately, in Romans chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, Paul says that the churches in the other regions are indebted to the church in Jerusalem from which all these churches grew. So the Jerusalem church has needs that Paul is seeking a collection to meet. But Paul has an even greater reason for taking up this collection and having representatives from Corinth bring it. And I want you to see that. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want you to see it in the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want us to look at verses 10 through 15. Paul is referencing this same collection in this second letter as well, or in this letter to the this additional letter to the Corinthians. And in this passage, Paul goes into greater detail about the heart of the matter. He was concerned about the gospel of Jesus Christ producing the fruit of generosity in such a way that it united Jewish and Gentile Christians. So let's look there starting in verse 10. He, that's God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. So God, who is generous, the creator God of Genesis 1 and 2, who's filled all creation with abundance, he will be generous to you for the purpose that you will in turn be generous to others as he is. And that generosity through the collection that Paul is taking up would produce thanksgiving to God. Look at verse 12. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. So this collection is going to do more than just meet needs. It's going to draw the hearts of the recipients to their God, to their generous God, their generous host. Look at verse 13. By their approval, the church in Jerusalem, by their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. So the Jerusalem church would glorify God due to the Corinthians' generosity, and their generosity is all born out of their confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14, and here's the kicker. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Paul's purpose in this is so that the hearts of these Jewish believers would be united together with their Gentile brothers and sisters. As he says elsewhere, for there is neither Jew nor Greek, but Christ is all and in all. And at this point, Paul can't help himself. He says in verse 15, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. All of this would reveal the goodness and the generosity of God, both between the Jews and the Gentiles, but to a watching world. So in summary, Paul's desire for the Corinthians to give flowed from God's generosity in Jesus through them that will bring glory and thanksgiving to him and also unity, oneness into the churches. This is the very prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17. May they be one as you and I, Father, are one. So this is a big purpose that Paul has here. That's why he's asking the Corinthians to give for this purpose. So in the Corinthians letter to him, they understand this. They're simply asking for instructions. How do we go about it? How do we practically go about this collection? And that will lead us back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Look in verse 2. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. So there's a lot of phrases here that we're going to just dive into and break down for us because I think it'll help us understand the order of things that Paul talks to here. So first of all, on the first day of every week, that's today, that's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day, the day that the church gathers together and remembers Jesus Christ was crucified and risen from the dead. And Paul knew that remembering the grace that the Corinthians had been given in Christ would be the perfect motivation each week to be gracious and giving to others, particularly with this collection that he's asking them to collect. So secondly, each of you, that's everyone, Everyone in the church, in the Corinthian church, was expected to participate in this collection. Put something aside and store it up. That's intentionality that he's after. He wants them to purposely take an amount and put it to the side, not to be touched. This is to go to the Jerusalem church out of generosity. Fourthly, as he may prosper. So while everybody in the church is expected to give, there's no expectation on what the amount of that giving would be, that it wouldn't be equal. We need to remember that these people in that time, they don't have a weekly paycheck that they're depending on with a regular expected amount. There's going to be good weeks, there's going to be bad weeks, and it's going to range all over the place in their church. So Paul's instructions here don't carry a specific expectation. Give what you can from what the Lord has given you. And then finally, that there will be no collecting when I come. Paul doesn't want to get there and strong arm them and push them and make it an obligation to do a rush campaign to get this collection going. He was trusting that their generosity would prepare it and make it so when he arrived. So here's a simple summary of everything Paul just said. The Corinthians were to give regularly, universally, systematically, proportionately, and freely. And that is something that we can take to heart as well, as I'll speak of in a few minutes. But how would this gift arrive in Jerusalem? Look in verses 3 and 4. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. And if it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. So Paul would send those that the Corinthians themselves would recommend, and he would also send with them a letter of commendation to validate that gift and where it was coming from. So why these arrangements? Well, first of all, this is the ancient world. They can't just wire or Venmo the gift over to the Jerusalem church. They have to collect it in, most likely, in coins. That's a lot of money that Paul is expecting from all these churches, and it's got to travel. So there would need to be protection from robbery and theft. There would be safety in the numbers of these representatives here to make sure that the gift arrived. But secondly, because it's the people that the Corinthian church recommended, this would ensure that the gift would not be mishandled, it would not be embezzled, it would get to the Jerusalem church with integrity. But third, and most importantly, by sending these Corinthian representatives to Jerusalem, the Jewish believers would come face to face with their Gentile brothers and sisters who love them. And their hearts, again, would be united together to God through it. So Paul considered this important enough that he is obviously a very busy man, as we will see, has a lot of different places to be. But he considered it important enough that he would even join them in delivering that gift to substantiate the gospel effect on them if it was needed. And brothers and sisters, that's a lot covering the details of what's happening here. But what we need to take away from this is the generosity that Paul is after. Generosity is a core way to show that we have been transformed by the gospel. And it's made evident in our lives through the giving of our finances. Listen again to what our church covenant says, that each of us who are covenant members have agreed to do together as Christ Fellowship Leesville, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. And I want to be clear, the passage we're reading this morning is not specifically about giving to the local church, though that is also a biblical expectation. This is specifically addressing how we should be generous and give outside of ourselves and outside of our church to others in need. That said, I want you all to be aware, if you're not, that when you give to this local church, part of our church budget is dedicated to this principle of giving outside of ourselves. So here's some examples. We are part of the Pillar Network of Churches. This is a network of doctrinally and missionally aligned churches for the purpose of planting healthy churches, revitalizing churches, and sharing resources together to serve other churches in need. And so part of our budget every year is giving to this network to fund that. We also contribute regularly to the cooperative program of the Southern Baptist Convention. So together with other SBC churches, we are able to fund seminaries, church planting through the North American Mission Board, and send missionaries through the International Mission Board. But to make this passage even more directly applicable to us, we also, through the year, take up collections to minister to others, particularly around Christmas. And Lord willing, we will do so again this year. Now, if you know me well, you know I'm all too eager to bring Christmas into any conversation. And since Christmas in July is a thing, I'm going for it, and y'all get to go for it with me. So one of the collections that we do is Operation Christmas Child through Samaritan's Purse. We're able to collect toys, hygiene items, basic supplies to share with children around the world. All that includes a clear presentation of the gospel. And another collection is the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. This offering goes directly to supporting missionaries through the IMB, missionaries like Ben and Hannah Moore that our church has sent to serve, and they are serving right now in Macedonia. And as a result of this collection, these missionaries are fully supported. They're not worried about raising funds through the year or when they come home on furlough. They can focus all their energy and intention to spreading the gospel through all nations. There are so many opportunities, church, these are just a few. There are so many opportunities for us to be generous. And I just want to pause, and I know I will speak for all the elders as we do every Sunday when I say that generosity with finances is not a problem in this church. You have faithfully and generously given to all of these opportunities in a variety of ways. So from the elders, I want to say again, thank you, church. Thank you for showing the gospel of Jesus at work in your heart through your generosity, not just to the ministry of this church, but to others around the world who need it. But I would add one application for us here. We know the Lottie Moon Christmas offering is coming. Might we consider doing what Paul instructs in this passage? Why should we wait until December to begin thinking about it, giving to it? Why don't we regularly store something up as the Lord prospers each of us so that when December comes, we're not caught unawares, and we might give even more generously as a church to this collection. So in whatever ways we give financially and we think about it, we need to see it as more than just an expectation, an obligation. It's just the good thing Christians do. It is the fruit of God's inexpressible grace to us in Jesus Christ. So let us give regularly, universally, systematically, proportionately, and freely. In other words, church, keep doing what you're doing. Keep going. Keep trusting in the generous host to provide for you that you may be generous to others. Let's view it in a way that produces thanksgiving to God, fruit for the gospel, and glory to Jesus Christ. But there are other ways, other than just our finances, that we can be generous. And that leads us to our second point. We should be generous with our presence. Look again at verses 5 and 6. I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia. And perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. Look at verse 8 as well. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost. So these verses, if we arrange them, give us a picture of what Paul's plans are coming up, his travel plans, but also what his heart for the churches is. He's currently in Ephesus, ministering to the church there. And it's probably spring, because as he mentions Pentecost, that happens in the beginning of summer. So then after that, he will make his way through Macedonia, and that would be ministering to churches like Philippi, Thessaloniki, and Berea. This would take him through the summer and into the fall, and then he would make his way to Corinth, and because traveling in that time during late fall, the winter would be very precarious, he might be able to spend the winter with them. Paul gives his plans here to let them know that it's going to be a while before he came, but it's not because he doesn't want to see them. He just didn't want to see them in passing. He didn't want it to be brief. He had already made his plans known to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, because he was going to have to deal with some in the church who are being arrogant. But more than that, he deeply loved the Corinthian church. Do you see what he says in chapter 15, verse 58, the last verse? Therefore, my beloved brothers. Do you see what he says at the very last verse at the end of the letter? My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Out of a heart of deep love, Paul wanted to be generous with his presence with this church. And as he says in verse 7, he wanted to spend time with them. Even so, he also knew that this letter might not be well received. Have you ever sent a text or an email that someone took in an entirely different way than what your intention was? I know I have. Paul knew that even the best of letters, this letter, it's just full of godly wisdom and instruction, was also going to need his personal presence to speak and model for them the way of Jesus. So in all these plans, notice Paul's complete dependence on God's sovereignty. In verse 6, he says, perhaps. In verse 7, he says, I hope. And he also says, finally and specifically, if the Lord permits. So Paul makes plans, as do we. We make plans, but we all should lean on the generosity of God's provision. And for him, it was to make a way for him to be with the Corinthians. But ultimately, he was surrendered to the Lord's will. Wherever the Lord directed him, wherever God cleared the road for him to be, that's where he was going to be. He trusted the Lord completely. And in the spirit of generosity, Paul desired that the Corinthians would extend generosity to him as well. He says in verse 6 that they may help him on his journey. That's a packed word in Greek. It includes finances, resources, maybe purchasing the ticket on a boat, all these ways of making sure that Paul would have what he needed to continue on his journey to the churches and ultimately to Jerusalem. And he finishes out these travel plans with his specific circumstances in verse 9. His presence was needed in Ephesus. He says in verse 9, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. There were many in Ephesus who were receptive to the gospel. In fact, Acts 19:10 tells us that for 2 years, Paul was able to speak at the Hall of Tyrannus so that all the residents in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. That is a wide door indeed. But his work, everywhere he went, was always opposed by adversaries, and Ephesus would prove to be no different. You can read in Acts 19:24 and find that a silversmith named Demetrius, who would help make these silver goddesses and shrines to the goddess Artemis, began an opposition to Paul that ultimately led to a riot in the Artemis temple against the Christians. But even so, even in the face of that opposition, Paul was generous with his presence to the churches that they might mature in Christ, and he desired that that time he could be able to spend with the Corinthians as well and pour into them. So what can we learn from Paul's approach with the churches, to the Corinthians in particular, we should also be generous with our presence to the local church. And it starts right here with what you're doing right now, being present at the weekly Sunday gathering of the church. Be generous with your presence here week after week after week. We're thankful to be able to have the resources to provide a live stream for those who, for one reason or another, are physically unable to be here. But the scriptures call us to gather together in person weekly. And your presence is needed. Your presence is needed here as we fellowship together, as we worship together, as we serve one another together. But we also have a time of weekly fellowship every Sunday at 10 a.m. That isn't simply a tack on, that's a lead up to the worship service, brothers and sisters. That's an intentional time set up for us to gather with brothers and sisters, to catch up with one another, and most importantly, to seek to encourage and build up one another in our walks with Christ. Our life groups, they're on break right now for summer, but they're going to start up again in September. Be generous with your presence to these groups to fellowship together and to build one another up in our discussions of God's word. And this is all a part of what we can call incarnational ministry, in-person ministry. Don't just give it a try for a couple of weeks. Paul didn't want to just come once and come in passing and be gone. He wanted to spend a long season with the Corinthians. So be committed as Paul was. I want to be committed to being present and being generous with my presence to the church for long seasons of time. Grow in your generous affection for one another so that you can't wait to come together for gatherings like this, so that we can spend time together and share together in our joy in the Lord. This is the generous spirit of Jesus at work in us. And it should produce one more effect, as we see in this passage. And that brings us to our third point. We should be generous with our humility. Look again at verses 10 and 11. When Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord as I am. So let no one despise him. Help him on his way in peace, that he may return to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers. Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. He was a cherished partner in Paul's kingdom work of reaching the nations for Christ. He wrote of Timothy in Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 23, that he has no one like him, that he has proven his worth, that Timothy served with Paul in the gospel as a son with a father. So since Paul's unable at the present to go to the Corinthians and be with him himself, he sends his very best, the best that he had in Timothy, to be present with them and to encourage them. Paul gives the Corinthians three directives concerning Timothy here. See that you put him at ease. Let no one despise him. Help him on his way. Why? Well, Paul may have had underlying concerns about how he himself will be received when this letter arrives. And that would extend to any representative like Timothy as well. And considering the factions that Paul addressed at the beginning of this letter, those concerns would be valid. And even if Paul would be well received, Timothy could be seen as less than Paul. Paul even gave instructions to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one despise you because of your youth. Paul assured the Corinthians in verse 10 that Timothy is doing the same work of the Lord that Paul was. And as such, there's nothing inferior about Timothy. So Paul is asking for one more generosity from them. Be humble, be courteous to Timothy. Welcome him warmly. Honor him. Listen to him as he teaches God's word and models Christ to you. Help Timothy on his journey. Extend peace to him at the parting. So how do we apply this in our context? While we don't have an apostolic authority that's sending a representative like Timothy to us, there are opportunities for us to receive those from other churches who are doing the work of the Lord. Again, we're part of the Pillar Network, and occasionally we have had some from those churches come to our church and minister. We've had brothers come as far as from the UK to preach in this church. And sometimes we go to these other churches and these other places to get instruction from the Lord from them. We did that in our men's retreat with Open Door Church this past spring. We should be generous to those who are doing the work of the Lord when he brings them to us. Be generous in our spirit to welcome them. Generous in our humility to listen to them, to respond to their instruction, to honor them. Generous in our provision for them in their journeys. And may it always be a mark of this church, Christ Fellowship Leesville, that we are humble to receive those who have proven themselves faithful to Jesus Christ and his kingdom. So as we get ready to respond to God's word this morning, you might think hearing all these things and reading all these things that they went exactly as Paul desired with the Corinthians and his plan to visit them. It's a challenging thing to track what historically happened following this letter, but from what we see in 2 Corinthians, we can gather some possible clues to a conclusion. Paul apparently had to change his plans and pay the Corinthians a quick and unexpected visit. Perhaps Timothy did arrive in Corinth, and he returned to Paul with news that the response to the letter didn't go well. This resulted in the painful visit that Paul referenced in 2 Corinthians 1 and 2, and he had to address his change in his plans because of it. And it appears from what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 that the Corinthians started the collection to the Jerusalem church, but they had not completed it. So what he stated very succinctly here in this passage, he was forced to flesh out more passionately there. Now, this is just a possible timeline to link together these events, but the reality is very clear. This letter, Paul's painful visit, and the letter of 2 Corinthians following shows us that the Corinthian church did not in all ways conform to the instructions that Paul gave, which could have led them to be more transformed by the gospel. And it would be really easy this morning, brothers and sisters, for us to hear the teaching of God's word, to be pointed to the gospel through it, to perhaps even be excited about it for a little bit, and still respond with selfishness and sinful hearts like the Corinthians did. May it not be so. As James says, we can't just be hearers of the word. We must be doers. We should want to be a people who hear the word of God delivered by apostles such as Paul and respond to it because of our desire to become more like our generous Savior, Jesus Christ. God is a wonderfully generous host to us, church. He has given us more than we can ask or think in the gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we not walk out this morning the same as we came, but may the gospel of Jesus continue to transform us and transform us in this way. His inexpressible grace calls us to be a church of generosity. And that starts with trusting that God will provide for us. May we regularly give to his church, his saints, and those who are in need. And by this generous, by God's generous, amazing grace, may we also be a people of generous, amazing grace. Let's pray. Father, we come before you having heard your word, and our first response, may it be gratitude. Thank you Thank you, God, that while we were enemies, when we deserved your wrath for our sin, you sent your Son. You gave your only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us, to cleanse us from our sin, to make us new in him, and to give us a home eternally with you. We are grateful for your abounding generosity, your inexpressible grace. We need you, Father. We need you this morning. I need you this morning. Help us to keep trusting in your generous grace to us in all areas of our lives, not just to take care of us, but to, through us, extend your generosity to one another, to our world, to saints in need, to the lost who desperately need to see and hear the gospel of Jesus. May you transform us by this amazing gospel this morning. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. We love you. Amen.